House, please come to order. Members, please indicate their presence by voting. Would the clerk please announce the totals?
33 members present.
Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, Representative Green is excused from call of the House until 8 p.m.
Our pastor today is the interim pastor, David Carpenter, Glacier Valley Baptist Church. Would members please rise?
Would you join me, please, as we pray? Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we continue to serve the people of our great state of Alaska, we would be mindful of our need for your divine leadership. Grant us, we pray, wisdom and understanding, and guide us in the performance of our duties so that we may glorify thee. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Representative Bryce, would you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Cott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask for unanimous consent that the prayer be spread across the journal.
Hearing no objection, the prayer will be spread across the journal. This brings us down to the certification of the journal. Would the clerk please certify as to the correctness of the journal for the previous legislative day?
I hereby certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 78th legislative day.
Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House journal as certified by the chief clerk be approved.
Any objections? Hearing none, the journal will be certified as approved. Brings us down to introduction of guests. Do we have introduction of guests, Representative Davidson?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Today I have four officials from the island of Kodiak, two from the city and two from the borough assembly. Would you please help me welcome Mayor Wally Johnson of the city of Kodiak and Council Member Gary Urban, and also assembly, borough assembly members, Mary Monroe and Alan Osterman in the Paradovich Gallery. Thank you.
Representative Hoffman, you're seeking the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Today I have a constituent down from Bethel. He's piloted the Kuskokwim River for over 20 years. Please help me welcome Captain Ron Sumsted.
Other guests to be introduced at this time, Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I see that the representative from Barrow is not here, and I see one of her constituents in the Taylor Gallery that I wanted to introduce. He's not a stranger to anybody. He's a former mayor of Kotzebue and president of the Alaska Municipal League, and I think a good friend to many people here, Willie Goodwin.
Representative Hudson, you were seeking the floor.
Madam Speaker, today in the Taylor Gallery, we have, I'm not even going to try to name them all, but members of the AARP, and if they would all stand, these are our Juneau representatives, and we'd like to welcome them here today, please.
Other guests to be introduced at this time. Representative Carney, you're seeking the floor.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Speaker. I noticed Representative Larson and I have a constituent in the gallery, Borough Assembly Member Mary Geis. Please help me welcome.
Other guests to be introduced at this time. If any member hasn't indicated their presence by voting, would you please do so at this time? This brings us down to messages from the governor.
I have none, Madam Speaker.
Messages from the other body.
Dated March 29, the Senate has failed to ratify Dr. Jeff A. Anderson as a public member to the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics. Message is signed by Nancy Quinto, Secretary. Dated March 29, the Senate has passed Senate Bill number 122, amended by Senators Sharp, Frank, Taylor, Kelly, Rieger, Miller, Pierce, and Donley, entitled An Act Relating to the Disclosure of Information by an Employer about the Job Performance of an Employee or Former Employee.
will be referred to the Judiciary Committee.
I have no other messages from the Senate.
Communications?
I have none, Madam Speaker.
Reports of standing committees?
Dated March 29, the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the qualifications of the following members for appointments to the Board of Dental Examiners and recommended that they be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Robert W. Robinson II, DMD, Gloria C. Gresser, Carolyn J. Michaels, Kevin L. Gottlieb, DDS, Burton A. Miller, DDS. The report was signed by co-chairs Bundy and Tui, also signing G. Davis, VZ, Cott, Olberg, B. Davis, Nikolai, and Bryce. The reports state that this does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the appointees during any further sessions for purposes of confirmation. The Judiciary Committee considered House Joint Resolution Number 3, limiting terms of legislators, and recommended that it be replaced with CS for HJR 3 Judiciary with a new title. Concluding no recommendation, signing do pass, Porter, Nordland, do not pass, Davidson, no recommendation, Phillips, James, and Cott. A fiscal note was attached. The report was signed by Chairman Porter. HJR 3 is further referred to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee considered second sponsor substitute for House Bill Number 37, Open Meetings Law Amendments. Concluding do pass, Ulmer, B. Davis, Olberg, and Sanders, no recommendation, Cott and Veazey. 1-0 fiscal note was attached. The report was signed by Chairman Veazey. Second, SSHB 37 is further referred to the Judiciary Committee. The Judiciary Committee considered House Bill Number 41, Civil Liability for Skiing Accidents, and recommends that it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 41, Judiciary, with the same title. Signing do pass, Porter, Phillips, Cott, James, do not pass, Davidson, no recommendation, Nordland. 5-0 fiscal notes were attached, and the report was signed by Chairman Porter. HB 41 is further referred to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee considered House Bill Number 69, Sex Offender Registration, and recommends that it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 69, Finance, with a new title. Signing do pass, McLean, Larson, Hanley, Martin, Parnell, Grusendorf, Terrio, and Foster. No recommendation, Navarre. 1 fiscal note and 4-0 fiscal notes were attached. The report was signed by co-chairs Larson and McLean. HB 69 now goes to the Rules Committee. The Resources Committee considered House Bill Number 132, Extend Resource Extraction Permit Lease, and recommends that it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 132, Resources, with a new title. Signing do pass, Hudson, Carney, James, Bundy, Williams. No recommendation, Finkelstein, Davies. 1-0 fiscal note was attached, and the report was signed by Chairman Williams. HB 132 is further referred to the Judiciary Committee. The Judiciary Committee considered House Bill Number 147, Employers Liability for Reference Info, and recommends that it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 147, Judiciary, with the same title. Signing do pass, Porter, Phillips, James, Cott. No recommendation, Nordland, Davidson. 3-0 fiscal notes were attached. The report was signed by Chairman Porter. HB 147 now goes to the Rules Committee. The Finance Committee considered House Bill Number 171, Medicaid Coverage for Hospice Care, and recommends that it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 171, Finance, with the same title. Signing do pass, McLean, Larson, Martin, Parnell, Grusendorf, Navarre, Terrio, and Foster. One fiscal note was attached. The report was signed by co-chairs Larson and McLean. HB 171 now goes to the Rules Committee. The State Affairs Committee considered House Bill Number 175, Appropriation, Women in Military Service Memorial. Signing do pass, Veazey, B. Davis, Olberg, Cott, and Sanders. The report was signed by Chairman Veazey. HB 175 is further referred to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee considered House Bill Number 178, Medicaid for Certain Children. Signing do pass, McLean, Larson, Hanley, Martin, Parnell, Grusendorf, Navarre, Terrio, and Foster. 2 fiscal notes were attached. The report was signed by co-chairs Larson and McLean. HB 178 is now referred to the Rules Committee. The State Affairs Committee considered House Bill Number 208, Eligibility for Longevity Bonus, providing no recommendation, signing do pass, B. Davis, do not pass, Veazey, no recommendation, Olberg, Cott, and Sanders. 1 fiscal note was attached. The report was signed by Chairman Veazey. HB 208 is further referred to the HES Committee. The Finance Committee considered House Bill Number 235, Special Education and Related Services, and recommends that it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 235, Finance, with the same title. Providing no recommendation, signing do pass, McLean, Larson. No recommendation, Hanley, Martin, Parnell, Grusendorf, Navarre, and Foster. 1-0 fiscal note was attached. The report was signed by co-chairs Larson and McLean. HB 235 is now referred to the Rules Committee. I have no other reports from standing committees.
brings us down to reports of special committees.
The House Special Committee on Oil and Gas considered House Bill No. 197, Appropriation Alyeska Settlement, signing DuPass, Cott, G. Davis, Olberg, and Sitton, no recommendation, Sanders. The report was signed by Vice Chairman Cott. HB 197 is further referred to the Resources Committee. I have no other reports of special committees.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Honoring Howard R. Groff by Representative Finkelstein. In memoriam, David Douglas Frith by Representatives Bryce and Sitton. House Joint Resolution No. 37 by Representatives Hoffman, McLean, Foster, Olberg, Williams, Davidson, Nicolai, Mackey, Ulmer, Brown, Carney, and Bryce, urging the Congress to enact H.R. 1033 or similar legislation authorizing construction grants for publicly owned treatment works in economically distressed rural communities.
Community and Regional Affairs, Health, Education, and Social Services Committees.
I have no other citations or resolutions for introduction.
Brings us down to introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill No. 249 by Representative G. Davis, entitled An Act Relating to Persons Whose Occupations Involve Electrical or Mechanical Equipment and Systems and Providing for an Effective Date.
Labor and Commerce, State Affairs, and Judiciary Committees.
House Bill No. 264 by the House Rules Committee, entitled An Act Providing for a Fishery Resource Landing Tax and Providing for an Effective Date.
House Special Committee on Fisheries and Finance Committees.
House Bill No. 265 by Representative Martin, entitled An Act Relating to Student Financial Assistance and Providing for an Effective Date.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance Committees.
House Bill No. 266 by Representative Phillips, entitled An Act Relating to Guide Outfitter and Master Guide Outfitter Licenses, extending the termination date of the Big Game Commercial Services Board and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce, Resources, and Finance Committees.
I have no other bills for introduction.
Brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. The clerk, please read the first item appearing on today's calendar.
House Bill No. 66 by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor, entitled An Act Relating to Municipal Property Tax Exemptions for Certain Residences and to Property Tax Equivalency Payments for Certain Residences and Providing for an Effective Date. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered House Bill No. 66 and recommended that it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 66 CNRA with the same title, providing individual recommendations, signing do pass, Olberg, Bundy, Toohey, do not pass, Davies, Williams, and Willis, no recommendations, Sanders. 3-0 fiscal notes were attached and the report was signed by Chairman Olberg. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered House Bill No. 66 and recommended that it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 66 Hess. With a new title, signing DuPass, Cott, Veazey, G. Davis, Bundy, and Toohey. 3-0 fiscal notes were approved, and the report was signed by Co-Chair Toohey. The Finance Committee considered House Bill No. 66 and recommended that it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 66 Finance with a new title, concluding no recommendation, signing DuPass, McLean, and Hanley. Do not pass, Brown. No recommendation, Larson, Martin, Parnell, Terrio. Needs amendment, Navarre. 3 fiscal notes were attached. 3-0 fiscal notes were attached. 1 fiscal note was attached, and the report was signed by co-chairs Larson and McLean. I have the CSs on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the Finance CS is adopted. Does the clerk have amendments on her desk?
Yes, Madam Speaker.
Clerk, please read the First Amendment.
Amendment number 1 by Representative Willis and Carney, making changes to page 3, line 19.
Representative Willis.
Madam Speaker, to begin with, as a senior citizen and as a beneficiary of the Senior Citizen Property Tax Exemption Program, I would like to declare a conflict of interest regarding House Bill 66 and request that I be excused from voting on this legislation.
I do hear objection. You will have to vote.
Madam Speaker, I would move amendment number 1 and ask unanimous consent.
Speaker hears objection.
Madam Speaker, this amendment would reinstate a provision from the House Hess version of the bill, that being the maximum charge of 5% interest a year upon taxes deferred under the optional deferral program proposed in the legislation. Currently, there appears to be no limit as to the interest rate that a municipality may charge on the deferral program. I believe this is a dangerous precedent to set and could wind up hurting our disabled veterans and seniors. While current interest rates are low, there have, as we know, been times in the past when interest rates have been much higher. I would urge the adoption of this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Bundy, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. The representative spoke before me is correct. We did consider a 5% interest charge in the HES committee, but on further consideration, it was our opinion that no interest ought to be charged. Just as an illustration, on a $150,000 home, if a disabled veteran were to apply for the deferment, it's conceivable that they could live in that home for 15 or 20 additional years, as opposed to a senior citizen who life expectancy would indicate they probably live in the home for maybe 10 years. In any case, if assuming a 15 mil assessment, if a disabled veteran were to live in a home for say 10 years, the amount of property tax and interest that would accrue would be $28,000. If, however, they lived in that home for 20 years, the amount would be $74,000 with the interest. Without interest, it'd only be $45,000. So you can see it's very significant interest accrual even at 5%. And I think the representative's concerns are well placed. However, I think the bill does not encourage any interest to be charged.
Representative Olberg.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. May we return briefly to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we're under an introduction of guests.
In the Taylor Gallery, I have two guests, representatives of the City of Cordova, City Councilman David Allison, and City Manager Gary Lewis. Thank you.
Other guests to be introduced at this time? Hearing none, we're back to debate on Amendment Number 1. Representative Porter, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Very briefly, one of the desirable things about this piece of legislation is that it gives the cities and boroughs options. I think the amendment would be restrictive of those options, and I would not be supporting.
Representative Ulmer, you were seeking the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just a question to the Speaker, who indicated that the bill would prefer that no interest be charged. If I understood that correctly, I was just trying to find the section of the bill that references that, and on a quick read, I haven't been able to, and I just wonder if the Speaker could show us which page and which line.
The House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order, those of you that are left. Ring your bell. Representative McLean, you're seeking the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. When we were working with the bill in the subcommittee, one of the concerns that we had was that if you put a 5% interest on a deferral and then it becomes due, then they would be liable for and may even have a lien on a property. And if they decided to sell it, and they have a lien on the property, then they would not be getting much out of it. And so our concern was that there should not be any interest on the deferral, and that's why we took out the 5% interest.
Representative Brown.
I call the House on this amendment and all amendments on this bill.
Please come back to order. Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, may we please revert up the calendar to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we're under introduction of guests.
Madam Speaker, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you and this body the administrator of the South Peninsula Hospital in Homer, Mr. Ron Pavala, in the Perakovich Gallery.
Madam Majority Leader.
A moment at ease, Madam Speaker. I'm going to ask unanimous consent that we be allowed to hold this bill over until tomorrow's calendar, House Bill 66, with the pending amendments.
Without objection, this bill will appear before us tomorrow, second reading on the calendar. Would the clerk please read the next item appearing on today's calendar?
House Bill number 97 by the House Health, Education, and Social Services Committee entitled An Act Clarifying the Responsibilities of the Department of Health and Social Services and Parents for Children Who Are Committed to the Custody of the Department and Are Placed by the Department with the Parents and Providing for an Effective Date. The HES Committee considered House Bill number 97. Signing Dupass, Bundy, G. Davis, Tui, Olberg, Nicolai, B. Davis, and Bryce. No recommendation, Cott and Veazey. 1-0 fiscal note was attached, and the report was signed by Co-Chair Tui. The Judiciary Committee considered House Bill number 97 and recommends Dupass, signing Dupass, Porter, James, Cott, Green, Phillips. The 0 fiscal note was approved, and the report was signed by Chairman Porter. The Finance Committee considered House Bill 97. Signing Dupass, Navarre, Larson, Hanley, Martin, Parnell, Grusendorf, Terrio, Foster, Hoffman, and McLean. The 0 fiscal note was approved, and the report was signed by co-chairs Larson and McLean. I have no amendments on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move
to ask unanimous consent that House Bill 97 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Sir, objection. Hearing none, the bill is before us in third and final reading. Would the Chief Clerk please read the bill for the third and final time?
House Bill number 97, entitled An Act Clarifying the Responsibilities of the Department of Health and Social Services and Parents for Children Who Are Committed to the Custody of the Department and Are Placed by the Department with the Parents and Providing for an Effective Date.
Third debate. Hearing none, members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote, clerk, please lock the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? The clerk, please tally the board.
39 yeas, no nays.
And so House Bill 97 has passed the House. Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Bill 97 be considered the roll call on the effective date clauses.
Is there objection to the adoption of effective date clauses? Hearing none, those effective date clauses have been adopted. Would the clerk please read the next item appearing on today's calendar?
House Bill number 151 by the House Judiciary Committee entitled An Act Relating to Payment by Indigent Persons for Legal Services and Related Costs and Providing for an Effective Date. The Judiciary Committee considered House Bill number 151, signing Dupass, Porter, Phillips, James, Cott, Do Not Pass, Nordland, Davidson. 1-0 fiscal note was attached, and the report was signed by Chairman Porter. The Finance Committee considered House Bill number 151 and recommended that it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 151 Finance, signing Dupass, McLean, Larson, Hanley, Parnell, Martin, Grusendorf, and Terrio. Do Not Pass, Brown, no recommendation, Navarre. 1 fiscal note was attached, and 3-0 fiscal notes were attached. The report was signed by co-chairs Larson and McLean. I have the CS on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection to adoption of the Finance CS? Hearing none, the Finance CS is before us. Clerk, have amendments?
No, Madam Speaker.
Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 151 Finance with a new title be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the bill is before us. Third and final reading. Is there a debate? Excuse me, Madam Chief Clerk.
CS for HB number 151, Finance, by the House Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Payment by Indigent Persons for Services of Representation and Court Costs, providing for stays of enforcement of a judgment during the pendency of an appeal of a conviction, allowing petitions for remission, reduction, or deferral of judgment, permitting a court to remit or reduce a judgment, or to change the method of payment, and providing for an effective date.
Is there a debate? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I think this bill has been improved as it's gone through the process, and in my view, it's unnecessary to pass this legislation. The only significant change that I see that it makes is, in a sense, reversing the presumption as to when these judgments would become payable. And it, under the present law, the execution of a judgment may not commence until 3 years after release of defendant from incarceration, unless, for good cause, the court considers it appropriate to execute earlier. So the current law already has some flexibility in it, and if, in fact, there is a defendant who serves a short period of time and has the financial wherewithal to pay a judgment, that possibility of them paying it would certainly be allowed under the current law. What we're doing here by taking out the 3 years is establishing the presumption, as I see it, that someone immediately coming out of prison would become liable for these costs. And this policy does not make sense to me, why they would then have to petition and show whatever that they were not able to pay. A person who has been incarcerated has a number of obstacles to face. We do provide gate money for people in this situation to help them get back on their feet and to help them have a breathing period to obtain employment and reenter society. And I just think this is going opposite from that, and would immediately, when they come out of prison, require them to begin paying off the cost of their public defender and the court costs associated with their trial. I don't think this is necessary, Madam Speaker. The current law has enough flexibility to accommodate those situations where it would be appropriate to collect earlier. And I think this is going in the wrong direction.
Representative Vollmer, you were seeking the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just have a question about Section 2, which I guess was added by the House Finance Committee. Section 2 requires a rather detailed report to be prepared by the Supreme Court and given to the legislature by 1996. And I also noted that there was a zero fiscal note, but the report that's required in Section 2 is actually fairly detailed. The number of cases in which judgments have been entered for payment of services, the court costs, the total amount of judgments for payments of services and court costs imposed, the amount collected, the number of cases in which judgments have been remitted or reduced, the number of cases where payment schedules have been established. Madam Speaker, I just question whether or not that's realistic, given what I know about the status of the court system's information gathering and reporting. They have no systematized way right now for judges to enter what their sentences are and then that for that information to be put into a computer bank. I mean, you'd think that they could do that, but they can't. So it's very, very difficult to get from the court system aggregated information about sentences, about judgments. Certainly, now we're also talking about those that are collected. I just question whether Section 2 is realistic, and certainly whether or not it's realistic with a zero fiscal note. I'd like to address a question to the person who proposed Section 2 and whether or not they discussed with representatives of the court system if there is any practical way of achieving that objective.
Representative Hanley, you were seeking the floor. Representative McLean.
We worked with the court system to come up with this language.
Representative Hanley, you were seeking the floor earlier.
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. I just to the bill itself, actually, and some of the comments that were made earlier. As was pointed out, this the ability for the court to enter a judgment against a person is already in current law. The main change is that it does not require 3 years after they are out of incarceration. One of the
and if you think about it, there's not necessarily a good reason to say 3 years. Somebody could actually come into money or be making adequate money well before that time. And there are protections just for everybody's information in the current. This is a civil judgment against a person, and the Alaska Exemptions Act provides for a number of exemptions for income, for houses. Actually, the net income is that is exempted is approximately six for a single person is like $450 a week net, not gross net. So that there's a fairly substantial amount of income, as well as the first $62,000 of a person's home. There's a lot of protections in this, and you'll also notice the additions in the law basically incorporate into the statute the court rules that have been there that provide protection so that the enforcement of a judgment under this can be stayed during an appeal at any time. The person who has had a judgment can petition the court at any time for remission, reduction, or deferral of the unpaid judgment. If payment of any of these portions would impose a manifest hardship on the person or their immediate family, the court can remit or reduce the balance owing. So there, I think there's adequate protections in here. I think it's an administrative nightmare right now for the courts to keep track of when a person's out of, they do the sentencing, but to keep track of when a person is particularly out of incarceration, which is the three-year section, is very burdensome. And to have to continually go back and check, they have to set up an additional computer system to do that. And like I said, there's not a real rational reason for 3 years. There are protections for people that are indigent that don't have the money, whether that's 3 years or 1 year or 1 day or 10 years. So the protections are there to provide that all of their money is not taken. They have the ability to make a living. But there's not a lot of rationale behind a three-year limitation after they get out. If somebody starts making $100,000 a year, and one of the examples is somebody that's convicted of DWI. At the time they're indigent, they serve 72 hours, they get a civil judgment against them for their court costs at that point. Is it rational to say, okay, we've got to wait 3 years, now that person gets back and gets maybe they're unemployed at the time. They get back on their feet, they've got a job, they're making substantial amounts of money, they got to pay whatever the costs are. And that's the main reason for this particular bill.
Representative Terrio. Further debate? Being none, members may proceed to vote. Any member failed to vote, would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote, would the clerk please tally the board?
32 yeas, 7 nays.
And so, committee substitute House Bill 151, Finance, has passed the House. Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that
the roll call on the passage of committee substitute for House Bill 151, Finance, with a new title, be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Objection to adopting the effective date clause. Hearing none, the effective date clause is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item appearing on today's calendar.
Madam Speaker.
Representative Larson.
Yes, may we revert to introductions of guests?
Without objection, we're under introduction of guests.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In the Warren Taylor Gallery, I have two constituents. One is Eric Bickers from Palmer, who will be down here taking part in one of the matches tonight against the Russians. Would Eric please stand? The other gentleman is a good friend. He's the manager of the Palmer Boxing Club, and Eric's manager, weighing in at 99 pounds, Butch Fondant.
Representative Terrio.
Paranovich Gallery, I'd like to introduce somebody down from Fairbanks, former state employee with the Department of Fish and Game, also former lobbyist for the Alaska Outdoor Council, Dick Bishop.
Other guests to be introduced at this time. Representative Ulmer.
Thank you. In the Taylor Gallery, a friend, a former postmaster, and an advocate for both veterans' rights and senior citizens' rights, Gene Dow.
Other guests to be introduced at this time? Representative
Meg Legins all year. I want to introduce one of my staff members, Ms. Judy Mathis.
other guests to be introduced at this time. Brings us back to the consideration of the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the next item appearing on today's calendar?
House Resolution Number 5 by Representative Phillips, establishing a House Constitutional Revision Task Force to consider and recommend alternative methods by which the state constitution may be revised. And a zero fiscal note was attached.
Citation is before us for debate. For debate, Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just a question on the fiscal note. In looking through it, I see where the Speaker appoints 5 members and 2 of them shall be appointed from the public. Obviously, if they have to provide us with a report and recommendations and so forth as outlined in this resolution, they have to do some work, which might involve some travel or some expense, and I was wondering what the reason for a zero fiscal note. Maybe the sponsor could explain how that wouldn't cost us any money.
Madam Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The expenses
for this task force will be borne in-house with in-house staff members who will be working with teleconferences, that type of thing.
Other debate? Representative Grusendorf.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Speaker. Looking at this resolution and the topic of it, I wonder why we simply just don't have the Judiciary Committee develop a subcommittee of which other members from this body can be appointed, as well as people from the public.
Further debate? There being none, members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change their vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
28 yeas, 11 nays.
And so House Resolution 5 has passed the House. Brings us down to the citations appearing on today's calendar. Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask
unanimous consent that the citation on today's calendar honoring the University of Alaska Statewide Legislative Internship Program and the 1993 Legislative Interns be adopted.
Subjection to the citation appearing on today's calendar. Hearing none, that citation is adopted. Brings us down to unfinished business. Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the following members be excused from a call of the House on the following dates. Representative Sitton from 6:05 p.m. Wednesday, April 7th until 8:41 p.m. Monday, April 12th. Representative Veazey from 6 a.m. Friday, April 9th until 6 a.m. Monday, April 12th. And Representative Willis from 4:30 p.m. Friday, April 16th until 9 p.m. Sunday, April 18th.
Is there any objection to those members being excused on the dates noted? Hearing none, those members will be excused. Other unfinished business to come before the House at this time? Being none, this brings us down to announcements. Representative Toohey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would like to announce a Hess meeting today. This House Concurrent Resolution 15, School Bus Driver Appreciation Day. House Bill 190, Alaska Science and Technology Foundation Grants. And House Bill 174, Consolidation of School Districts. Thank you.
Further announcements? Being none, this brings us down to special orders. Being none, Madam Majority Leader. Oh, shucks. Madam Minority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I promise I'll make it short. Will that make you happy?
Indeed.
Indeed. Okay. And actually, it's a happy subject. Madam Speaker, I would ask permission to speak on the subject of the Eskimo blanket toss.
Without objection, you may toss the blanket.
Thank you. Madam Speaker, I had a very unusual experience this weekend, and I don't know if it's one that many members on this floor have had, but I think they should. And it is to participate in an Eskimo blanket toss. I was at a conference at which a gentleman by the name of Greg Knothstein from Anchorage, who has been very involved in the Native sobriety movement, and who for the last few years has been traveling around Alaska, going to groups, particularly youngsters, and teaching them the cultural value and the community involvement that comes from participating in the blanket toss. So Greg brought with him this huge Eskimo blanket, which was actually a bunch of skins that had been stitched together with big rope handles all around, and there were about 25 of us holding onto the blanket as Greg jumped up and down, telling us it was very easy and a wonderful way to overcome your fears, whatever your fears might be. And so when he got done jumping, he asked me to be next, and I said, well, I guess I will. I didn't know, and I learned later from the representative from Barrow that when she did this as a teenager, she ended up breaking two legs. Had I known that beforehand, I probably would have said no, but I didn't know enough to say no, so I did it. And it is a lot like flying like an eagle. It's an amazing experience. But the reason I'm bringing this to the attention of this body is that Greg and I talked about how wonderful it would be if he'd bring his blanket to the legislature. And I think it would be wonderful, Madam Speaker, because what the Eskimo Blanket Toss is all about is teaching people to trust each other, to work together, and to see that by putting away some of your own individual fear and putting away your own individual concerns about whether or not the person sitting next to you is somebody you can trust and work with or not, that we'd probably work better as a body. And I really think we ought to seriously consider officially asking Greg to come do this with us. I think we would all be better human beings as a result of it. I'm convinced our legislature would work together more cooperatively as a body if we give this a whirl. And Madam Speaker, it's also a lot of fun. Thank you.
It pleases me the minority leader has had this experience. Representative Mulder, you have the floor.
I wish permission to speak to the body on the upcoming weekend and about the blanket toss.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Certainly, Madam Minority Leader brings up a good point, but it certainly begs the question, do we get to select who we get a toss in the blanket? Madam Speaker, this weekend we have a fun-filled weekend planned. As you know, the skits are on Saturday night, and wear your thick skin if you're planning to attend for new members, but it is a fun time. Additionally, Holland America West Tours, Gray Line of Alaska, are planning a pre-skit and pre-putting tournament reception this Saturday, April 3rd from 5 to 6:30 at the Westmark Hotel. There will be round-trip transportation from the Westmark to the skits following the reception. Even if you don't plan on attending the skits, please come to the reception. Everybody's encouraged to attend. We'll be raising money for the charity, but there's no obligation to contribute. On the following day, the fourth annual Aloha Classic Legislative Charity Putting Tournament will begin at 11 o'clock here on the second floor. Proceeds from the event go to the Armed Services YMCA and St. Vincent de Paul Homeless Shelter here in Juneau. Teams of three will have the opportunity to putt their way to glory and win some very nice prizes here in the hallowed halls of the Capitol Building. There's still room for interested teams, so please stop by room 11 or 116 if you or your staff would like to enter. Beach attire is also suggested. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Representative Cott, you're taking the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I wish to ask for leave of the body to speak on setting the record straight.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Yesterday, the Senate failed to confirm one of the ethics members. I think most of us know the true reasons why. What concerns me, however, is an article that was identified in today's Anchorage Daily News.
Cott, I hate to interrupt you, but if you're going to speak about the other body, please call him the other body.
The other body. In today's Daily News, there was an article that suggested that the senator from Juneau, Mr. X, on the other side, said that they voted against...
Your point, Representative
I think you know
Mackey.
What it is, Madam Speaker.
Pardon me?
I think you know what the point of order is.
The point of order, Representative Cott, is that we don't refer to Mr. X down the way. We don't refer to the other body. We simply say the other body, and we don't talk about who might be there or what they do down there.
The other body.
Madam Speaker, specifically referred to the senator from Juneau, and I think that's inappropriate, as you haven't allowed that type of activity in the past.
I tried to correct to make sure that doesn't happen.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm just reflecting upon the article in the Anchorage Daily News, in which, and I certainly don't know if this was a direct quote, but the news, if I might just very briefly, reported that Mr. Anderson has a conflict of interest because his university relies on state student-funded loans. I might add to that, if Wayland Baptist University relied on state-funded student loans, it would have already filed for bankruptcy. approximately 90% of the students, or greater, are military members, and they rely totally on veterans' assistant programs to include tuition assistance. And if this is the sole reason why members voted against Mr. Anderson, I think they ought to be embarrassed, and certainly they have not done their homework. Thank you.
Representative Martin, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. The minority leader expressed a concern.
Your subject, Representative Martin.
May I speak on friendship and culture?
Without objection.
Of which I have both of. Yes, thank you. The minority leader spoke on the friendship of our native people and knowing their culture. And I'd like to bring to your attention there's also the friendship of our native people and their brothers and cousins and sisters and so on across the Bering Sea. And this evening, 12 members are here from Eastern Siberia, and they have come on their own money, no state money whatsoever spent on this adventure of culture and friendship. And in this case, it's in the realm of the sports world. So these young boxers have come over here, and eventually our boxers from Juneau and Fairbanks and Anchorage will be going over to Magadan as a return match. But the whole idea is to friendship, to learn about each other. And the Anchorage Daily News classified the Russian boxers as very skillful and very artful in their techniques in their sports. And I think it would be very good if a lot of us attend the boxing match this evening at 7 in Centennial Hall, 7 o'clock.
Representative Foster, you have the floor.
Blanket toss subject, if I can.
You have the floor.
I just wanted to invite my dear good friend from District 14 to a blanket toss in Kipnuk, possibly next summer with me.
Is that the one with the hole in it?
Further special orders, Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, before making the adjournment notice, there will be a majority caucus following. Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Wednesday, March 31st.